Welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's radio show, AC23. The mission of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge is to foster the creative capacity in the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, teaching, and training. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from staff members, artists, and arts organizations throughout our region. If you'd like to hear this episode again, you can find it online at www.artsbr.org.
Okay, I'd like to welcome our listeners and viewers to another session of AC23+ here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. My name is Mike Esnault. I am the Director of Arts and Education here at the Arts Council. And today I have two wonderful guests, new friends of mine who I met, I think, probably back at our Louisiana Arts Summit that we had here at the Arts Council a while back. Ms. Kim Smith and her son, BJ Smith. Welcome, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you feeling?
Good, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm excited about this talk because historically with this podcast, it's been mainly about, you know, musicians, performing artists. And we do have this is going to be about a visual artist, BJ. But it's also a pretty incredible story that I've learned about just in my short conversations with you guys, and really a testament to the power of art, in this case visual art, as a healer, and in this case dealing with a traumatic brain injury. So I'm going to get you, BJ, to talk mm-hmm. a little bit about just the history of the incident, like, you know, what happened, and we'll talk about your journey from that. Mm-hmm. So so tell me a little bit about what actually happened.
Well, it was August 8th of 2005, mm-hmm. and I had wanted to be a jock my whole life, you know, and my cousins had came down to Opelousas, you mm-hmm. know, to get me. And I was in Houston, Texas, you know. And I was riding an ATV that day, you know. And a dog ran out in front of me, man. And I swerved to miss it.
I see.
And it happened, you know. I think mine could explain it a lot better, though.
Yeah. Well, from what I've read and what you guys have told me. It was very severe. Like, you ended up in the hospital.
Was.
They declared you dead on arrival.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. So it's a miracle that you're here.
Yeah, man, for real.
And it's been quite a journey to get where you are. Now, that was, what did you say, was it 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about your journey from that moment, and especially the power of art that entered your life. Now, you weren't a visual artist prior
to
this.
No, I was not, man. I had no interest in any of that. I was lost, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, being a brain injury survivor, you know, one side of my body would sweat, man. I was in pain, man. They had so much that was going on with me mentally, you know. I had to find a way to cope with life, you know. It was crazy, man. And I tried going back to work, you know. I worked with my family for a little while. Mm-hmm. You know, I made the bag good at the best I knew how, you know.
Right.
And I worked at Big Lots. Big
okay.
Lots. Yeah, I worked at Big Lots. And then I tried going back to school, you know, I tried the GED program, mm-hmm. you know. That was all right. I couldn't finish that, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things that I tried, you know, but it's like, a lot of things that I used to try a long time ago, they just didn't work, man. You know, it's like it would just fall through and it was crazy. But whenever art came around, it was like a vibration, man. It was awesome, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a dance floor, man.
Well, once the incident happened, you were in the hospital for like 6 months. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So was it a situation where you had to like relearn everything? Like,
yeah, man.
That's intense.
I had to relearn how to walk, talk, do everything for myself again, man. Right. I was like a baby, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how did visual art enter into your life? How did that become a thing?
My mom, dude. Yeah. I guess she had found it on YouTube.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I tried a little bit, you know, and then I went all out, man. You know, I couldn't stop myself for a long time, dude. I'd have these little things swinging, you know, and I made some makeshift things with coat hangers and broomsticks, and I'd make up all kind of stuff to let them swing and stuff, you know?
Right.
Man, at one point I had 8 things swinging at one time. I wanted to see how much I could do at one time.
I guess just being, I know as a musician, just being involved in the creative process.
Yeah, yeah. It's an energy, man.
It does wonders for your not only your soul, but just your...
Yeah.
It, you know, it's therapeutic.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. Very much.
Well, Kim, can you talk to that? Like how you got him involved in visual art and, you know, what gave you that idea?
If it's okay, I'd like to kind of go back to the scene of the accident.
Please, yeah.
Whenever I received the call, it was from my sister-in-law, and she told me BJ's been in an accident. I just thought maybe he broke his arm or his leg or whatever, you know. And she said, no, he's in brain surgery right now, and they're giving him a 10% chance of survival. So... I knew that when I got there was a chance that he wasn't going to make it. And he was in a coma for roughly about a month. And catastrophic brain injury is what BJ had. And it's absolutely life-changing for the survivor as well as the family. A lot of people don't put focus on the family because, of course, he's the star of the show, right?
Sure.
The patient is everything. But I do remember he was at Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston, and the staff there, the doctors and the nurses, there was also a focus on the family. And I know today that family is a large part. If, you know, patients need the support of family and friends and the community. We heal in community. And our family is our first community. And so not knowing what the end result was going to be, there's no prognosis for brain injury because patients can heal for the rest of their lives in small. There's like a maximum medical recovery of about 2 years after the injury. And then after that, healing continues. And you might not even notice it. I mean, I can't even tell you how his healing process and his restoration over 20 years, it's just been phenomenal.
So it continues to continue.
It continues. Yeah. It continues.
Right.
And I always tell people, you know, it's incredible. We take for granted what we can do walking and talking. Mm-hmm. We take so much for granted. But when you see a loved one lose everything and go back to the time literally of infancy, and then bounce back from that, you realize that the body is a healing organism. And given the right support, it's incredible. You mentioned BJ's recovery has been miraculous.
Right.
So whenever I'll say this, whenever he saw his neurosurgeon for the last time, and this is a man of great compassion, I'll never forget him, Dr. Mehmet Alp. I have to talk about him because sometimes I think about him every day. He saved my son's life, and he had a great deal of compassion for the family. I mean, there's kind of a funny aspect of this, too, because I always say you take a bunch of couillons from Louisiana and bring them to a hospital in Houston under that kind of condition. I mean, we were slugging it out over there. It was really bad, you know.
Sure.
But I remember him telling BJ, so before he left the hospital, before he's released, he had to have his final assessment to go home. Mm-hmm. So, and I remember being in there whenever he was checking him out, and he was doing what's called neuro checks. And he was sitting on a low stool, and I'll never forget, he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Miss Smith, the first time I saw your son, he was dead." He said, "I don't know why he survived. I've seen patients with far less serious brain injuries not make it." And he told me, he said, "Your son is a walking miracle." So he did talk about some of the things he saw, what the brain injury when he was operating, because BJ had four brain surgeries. And he said his motor cortex was so shredded, I didn't think he'd ever walk again. Wow. And so I do know that there was a great deal of prayer that went on mm-hmm. over BJ. And we're Catholic, so he received the last rites, which are given to people who are mortally injured. It's like, you're on your way home, so let's get you some grace here.
Right.
And so to talk about BJ's restoration, as far as art goes, it's just, there's been a lot of struggle along the way. He was trying to find out who he was, mm-hmm. what worked, what didn't work. And as his mom and being an observer and also his caregiver, I've seen the struggles along the way. And there's a lot of, you know, incidents of being with the wrong crowd of people. And
sure.
Substance abuse is very well known within the brain injury survivor community. It's mm-hmm. it's a constant struggle. Just trying to find his place in the world. And one day we were on YouTube and I was looking up some art. I thought, "You want to do some art?" And he goes, "Yeah." It has taken us both on a journey I could have never anticipated, mm-hmm. never in a million years. And so, I love the idea that art is medicine, because it really is medicine for the soul.
Right.
And BJ's, I've also had to accept that within brain injury, you know, there are some things about BJ that the art was wonderful, but like coming home and he had that apparatus swinging from the ceiling fan, you know, and paint was around the whole room.
I was making it happen.
Yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking
he was ruining
awesome
the house.
Stuff.
There's no doubt
you
about it.
You had a groove going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bro.
And of all colors that day, he chose black and the walls were yellow. I said, "What in the hell are you doing?"
Oh, I did that, bro.
Yeah. I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then.
Right.
But so he started to do art, and I the best way I can say it is I just had to get over myself. It's not that the what he did in the kitchen didn't matter. You can repaint it, you know. Just I had to monitor my reactions of, you know, like everything is an emergency. No, not everything is an emergency in life. Learn to just sit back and breathe.
So you learned know? Quite a bit yourself going through this process.
It's just,
I can't imagine. Like,
yeah.
All, yeah.
And I will say this, there are relationships surrounding that accident. The people responsible refuse to be accountable, even to this day. And so there are relationships within the family that have never healed.
Sure.
And that's, I take that really, really hard.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, you can't make other people do what you want them to do. You right. have to kind of accept life on life's terms, which is not easy. But I feel like I need to say this too. I really yeah. don't talk about this very much, but I grew up, my youngest brother, Brett, was also a brain injury survivor. So my whole entire childhood,
oh, wow.
you know, and he was completely out the box. You know, he was loud. He had no filter, right? And so there's some things that I already had some familiarity with,
okay.
you yeah. know, whenever BJ's injury happened. Two completely different people. But I grew up with a lot, people would ask my mom, "What's wrong with him?" You know? And she'd go, "Oh, he had a brain injury at birth." So Brett also enjoyed art very much. There wasn't a day, you know, when he got up in the morning, the color book was there, and he was very childlike,
right.
very, very childlike his whole entire life. And he loved cutting and pasting and making cards for people's birthdays. And I saw that in him growing up. He had a real joy around creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's an interesting thing that I grew up with my brother being that way, and then my son ended up having a brain injury. And so I think there's a real spiritual aspect here for me
mm-hmm.
personally, you
right.
know, about what do those sorts of things mean in life. when right. you see a pattern in life. What's going on? What is life trying to teach me? You know? And so BJ and I have become partners in a way that I could have never imagined, you know, because at this age, normally people's children are married, grandkids, and all that other
sure.
stuff.
Yep.
And BJ and I are, you know, we have this life's mission, which is to talk about life after brain injury and to advance art as medicine for healing trauma.
Right.
But so together we do some lecturing around the state at universities.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to LSU in New Orleans and UL College of Nursing in Lafayette and some community colleges. But we're always wanting to give back to the community, you know, and inform people about brain health and what does it mean whenever you have a brain injury. Louisiana is famous for, we have a lot of stroke survivors here. Strokes are a form of brain injury as well.
Mm.
BJ is also a stroke survivor. So he medically had a lot of things going on with him. Things that have since resolved,
right.
like he was talking about sweating on one side of his body. There was a time when he first came home, his body would sweat profusely, but only on one side.
That's interesting.
It's called hemihidrosis.
So the brain is telling only one part of the body.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And that is a symptom of, if you could look at it this way, like a computer, you know, or your phone, like it's trying to come back online and it's not sure what to do. You know, if you compare it to technology,
mm-hmm.
we've all seen that buffering, you know, that old thing. It's a type of buffering of the brain, trying to get it back together.
Right.
Yeah. And so BJ is, I'm very proud of him. And we have our times. We really do, you know.
We sure do.
Yeah. But I've had to learn really how to respect his decisions, his desire for certain things. What does he want to do? You know, what are his hopes and dreams? And to help him to fulfill those things.
Right. Right. I'm curious, in those experiences of doing the lectures at different universities and what have you met many other people who've gone through similar circumstances and maybe have, you know, used art, any form of art, to help them with the process?
That's my next step in life, is to meet some more people that are like me,
mm-hmm.
just like me, you know? And I want to spread the magicalness and the journey on this journey is
yeah.
really what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I want to show people, you know, there's always a way. There's always a door waiting to be open.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a teacher inside of you.
Yeah, man.
As a teacher, formally, I can see it.
You know, I got the double spinner in the car, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, bro. It's just, there's a vision that I have, you know, that I want to see happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
To you know, and maybe I can, you know, start a podcast or start some channels on YouTube.
Absolutely.
You know? That's, you know, something that I can work on, man. I really want to, you know, reach another level in life, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so important.
Yeah.
Regardless of anyone's circumstances, that I feel, to just continue to grow.
Yeah,
find ways to get out, maybe get out of your comfort zone.
That is
that
true.
That allows you to
mm-hmm.
experience new things.
Yeah,
and
really.
Acquire new skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
and have fun along the way.
Yeah, man, really.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not a visual artist, so I'm curious, like, as far as the visual art that you do.
What I do, personally, is it's not me making the art. It's where I put it. Like, the swing art I was doing, man, mm-hmm. that pendulum swing, I don't do the art. I let the universe do the art.
You're a conduit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just put it in motion and see what happens.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the spinning art, that's another thing, you know?
Yeah.
I take what's already there and put it in motion.
Right.
You know, that's what I call my pieces, art in motion.
Yeah.
You know, my art in motion standing still.
And so is there something about the physicality of seeing the things move that you just like?
Yeah, man. It's so amazing, and not one is the same.
Right.
You know? You can put two of them doing the same thing with the same colors and everything, and they're always different.
Right.
It's amazing.
That's really interesting. We'll make sure, too, at the end of this podcast to put up some of your art so that the viewers can see what you've done.
Sure. Yeah, man, for sure.
I'm curious, while we're talking about this, like if people want to learn more about what you guys have been up to, is there a website or something that you guys have?
We do have a Facebook page because we have a nonprofit, and it's called Brain Art Alliance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they can reach us there. Mm-hmm. We do have a website that is under construction right now.
Yeah.
And it's called The Brain Art.
Yes.
Yeah.
.org.
Yeah, .org.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say another thing, BJ. It's important. I think it's a part of why I'm so proud of BJ. He is a guest art teacher in Lafayette at a place called...
Oh, so you are teaching.
Yes. Yeah, he does teach.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to talk about St. Pierre's and Red Oak?
I got St. Pierre's is a place for people that are mentally handicapped, you know? Mm-hmm. And I teach them how to pour art, or I taught them the pendulum swinging art, and I taught them, whenever I had it, it was the box fan was in, it was in like a cardboard box, you know, and I put some plexiglass around the top, I taped it up, man.
Right.
I was on a mission, dude, and I taught them how to spin some art, man. Theirs came out the better than I've ever done. It was with them.
Right.
It was amazing, dude. It's the energy that you bring with a crowd, man.
Yeah.
It was amazing,
dude. Isn't it cool, too, like, just my experience as a teacher, like, you give someone some information, you show them something, but because they're different, they're going to filter it differently, and they're going to do something that you never thought of.
Really?
You know? It could be a small thing, or it could be like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Right. That's
It wasn't me with the spinners, man. I'd give them the balls, and they would do the spinning art, man. And they made some awesome ones, dude. Really.
Yeah, that's, I'd imagine, well, I know that that's very therapeutic in itself.
Yeah.
Just
giving
information to someone else. And the joy of showing someone something that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, man.
You know?
Yeah. And the other place is, what is it called?
Red Oaks Cottage. It's a small school for children.
Well, BJ, thank you so much, man.
All right, man.
And we're going to put some of your art up at the end of this podcast.
Sure.
I want people to check it out.
Sure.
And if you could remind the viewers and listeners, it's Brain Art Alliance. Yeah.
Brain Art Alliance on Facebook. And then our under construction site is called thebrainart.org.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to hear this episode again, you can find it on our website, artsbr.org, and click on AC23. We'll see you next time.